Free FM. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Michael Godeau sitting across from me, a juggler in the Lance Burton Show. Phone number here is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have... if you don't have letters on your phone. Penradio@gmail.com is the email address. Penradio.com is the web address. And we are sitting here on a beautiful Monkey Tuesday. And, you know, I thought, you know, when we first started doing the Tuesday of Monkeys, I thought that that we wouldn't be. What do you got on a T-shirt?
I have that monkey shirt on that. Remember that interview I did?
Oh, yeah, that's the someone sent me on my MySpace account, my secret MySpace account that no one can find except for 600 people, on that secret MySpace account where I do not use my name, but everything else is true. Someone sent a video of that monkey playing poker on some like local access TV show. So I get to see what you saw. I was wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Very cute. Monkey.
Same shirt.
Could not play poker at all.
Not at all.
I mean, it was just...
Even a little.
Wasn't even pretending to play poker at all. And so we're sitting here on a beautiful and lovely Monkey Tuesday. And we're going to be taking some calls. Any stories that you have that do not involve the flinging of smelly bodily substances and do not have any sort of sex in them. A little bit of sex is okay, but not, you know, the full-out sex. Because everybody has the same monkey story. Everybody has been around at a zoo and seeing monkeys do those two things. That's two of the great things that monkeys do. But a slightly different monkey story we're happy with. And we'll take one of those. We've got, is that Bo? I guess it's Bo. Hey, Bo, what's up?
Guys?
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Penn? Hi, Chuckling
Goodell. Yeah,
Chuckling Goodell.
What's up, man?
Hey, well, in 1969, I was going to Clemson University.
Uh-huh.
And one Saturday night, I went to a county fair. And,
oh, yeah?
They had a thing where if you pitched dimes
mm-hmm.
and it landed on a lower plate, you won a stuffed monkey.
Yeah.
If it landed on a higher plate, you won a real monkey.
No.
Swear to God. Real squirrel monkey.
Squirrel monkeys are like dangerous, horrible little things.
They are.
Wow.
They are.
And what did they do? They had them in a cage there?
They had them in cages.
Oh, how many did they have there?
Oh, they probably had 10 of them, 12 of
so
them.
So there was a carny guy who was traveling around the country. We have to get Todd on the phone. He was traveling around the country with
yes.
10 squirrel monkeys in cages, and he worked there on a dime pitch?
That's right, at Easley, South Carolina.
Wow. Amazing.
So
you're pitching dimes.
On my pitch, I bounced it off the bottom plate. It landed on the top plate. And I won the meanest monkey in the world.
Cost you 20 cents.
Cost me 20 cents. Well, it ended up costing me more than 20 cents by the time everything was said and done. But,
okay, so how does this work? I mean, I know I understand the fish. You throw a ping pong ball in the fish bowl. You take the fish
right.
with you. Did you leave it at the cage for the rest of the fair, or did you carry this monkey?
No, well, this is the first thing I did when I got there. All right. So they put it in a cage, so now I have to go home.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So the fair is over for you.
I'm sorry?
The fair is over for you. No more looking around.
The fair is done.
Yeah,
the fair is done.
None of the sexy fair girls with their halter tops and their midriffs. I'm getting off the subject.
Funnel cakes.
Go on, funnel cakes. None of that for you. Bo's heading home with his monkey. Did the monkey have a name, or did they have you name it?
Well, we named it. Quasimodo Frederick King Kong Gibbons.
Okay.
just for... You know,
sure.
Giggles.
That's a fine
thing. Anyway, I have to carry it to the car with my arm fully extended because the thing is just lurching at me, trying to kill me. And so, you know, 30 minutes later, I come back into the house and my three roommates are there.
And this is about the size of a cat with a horrible tail and big teeth, right?
Yeah. So, and it's 1969, and, you know, everyone's peace loved out in 69, so these guys were pretty mellowed out.
Yeah.
And I walk in with a monkey in a cage.
Yeah, you know? Sure you do.
So, I put it down, and of course I figure, I'm a peaceful man. I've never done anything mean to anyone in my life.
Huh?
I'm going to bond with this monkey.
Sure you are.
Sure I am.
Sure you are. You'll play cards with Charlie Manson.
I opened the door, and
Jesus.
The monkey simultaneously bit me in the hand and had explosive diarrhea. Ed now. He's really mad now. Throwing
dishes. I love that carny. I love the carny that just decides I'm going to carry around 10 spider monkeys and give them to the rubes. Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, 20 cents is really much too much to pay for this. So you have a monster that has made your house smell repulsive.
Yes.
It's bit you. You are bleeding. And now it is running amok in the apartment that you and your three roommates share.
It's running amok.
Yeah. And what's it doing while it's running amok?
So, well, what we did was we sedated it with what we sedated ourselves with back then. And,
statute of limitations is over. What'd you do? Did you get it marijuana or did you give it like a...
Yeah, we just blew pot on it and then we got a little tired. So he called back in his cage, and we had him for about a week, and then we said, you know, if something really loves you and you let it go, it'll come back. So I took it outside, and I opened the cage, and I haven't seen the damn monkey yet.
Now, can we, Patrick, can we bring Todd Robbins on at the same time he's on? This is Todd Robbins, who knows everything about carny stuff. And I'm not sure you heard the beginning of this. You there, Todd?
Hold on. I lost him. I've killed Todd already.
Okay.
Sorry.
He lost Todd. He screwed it up. But I want to ask Todd about what carnies gave away squirrel monkeys. Can you call him back or something, Patrick, or we have to wait for Todd to call?
We have to wait for Todd to call.
Okay, he'll call back. So,
yeah, he was a nasty, nasty monkey, and ruined my whole outlook on mankind, actually. but the most embarrassing thing was I had to go to the college infirmary.
Monkey bite?
From my monkey bite. And
let's try to get Todd.
What are you here for? And I said, I was bitten by a squirrel monkey.
Don't do anything, Gudo. Don't do anything. We have Modest Todd there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Todd, we have here Bo on the phone. Who you're talking to, Bo, is Todd Robbins, who knows more about carnival life than almost anyone. Were you aware that in South Carolina, in, what did you say, 1969?
69.
They were using squirrel monkeys as prizes on dime pitches?
Yeah, they tried all kinds of stuff, all kinds of animal giveaway stuff that, you know. And
you didn't hear the whole story.
I don't know who the carny was that came up with that idea.
He said that in the booth there were 10 cages, each one of them having an angry, hateful squirrel monkey. And this poor guy Bo, okay, he throws a dime, it bounces off the bottom plate up into the top one, and he gets a squirrel monkey that he had to carry at arm's length back to the car. And when he let it out, it bit him, smelled up his place, threw dishes around, and just destroyed everything. And my favorite line, and forgive me, Bo, was, it destroyed his view of mankind. And he finally let it go. What other animals did they give away, Todd?
Goldfish, of course. And bunnies.
Yeah. Was Blackstone Senior would give away bunnies.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But also on the carny they did that, and the idea of it's very possible those monkeys were trained to hone back to the carny lot over and over again because they'd be smart, those monkeys, you know. So
they'd watch the way it drove up. Maybe what was the name of your monkey again, Bo?
Quasimodo Frederick King Kong Gibbon.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I'd run away too if you gave him a name like that.
Hey, well, he treated me like crap, so, you know, he had it coming.
But maybe Quasimodo Frederick King Kong Gibbons went right from you. How far were you from the fairgrounds?
Close enough, he could have made it in about a day.
Giving away the same damn monkey over and over again.
Yeah. You got to make a profit. Come on now. These things are expensive. Yeah. And people take them home, they feed them once, and then they come back. What the hell?
Yeah, he paid 20 cents. It was his second pitch. And you know how hard it is to get a dime on one of those plates. You ever done it, Todd?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they put furniture polish on the thing so they'd slide off.
But one of them made it.
I actually considered trying to go on a ride holding this monkey in the cage and thought better of it.
What are you going to do?
Well, thank you so much, Bo. We'll keep Todd on.
You're welcome. Thanks. Keep up the good job.
I hope I don't drop Todd here.
Yeah, don't drop Todd.
He's gone. Patrick dropped him. That wasn't me, though. I didn't even get to hit the button.
Okay. Todd will call back again.
Paris Hilton was bitten by her.
Well, that was a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago.
By a kinkajou.
It's not a monkey, but it looks like one.
It's a raccoon-like thing.
It's kind of a raccoon thing, about 5 pound.
I believe it's illegal, right?
I don't know.
I believe it's illegal in California to have a kinkajou as a pet. Are they really cute? They have like big eyes.
They are cute. They're pretty cute.
And
they're called honey bears. That's one of the names for them. Is honey bears?
So yeah.
How could you not have an animal called a honey bear?
And I really, how could you not bite Paris Hilton? That seems impossible. let's talk to. I think we got Todd back. Hey Todd, you back there again?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got a monkey story for us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. There was a guy, and I have to apologize.
Before we even go into this, Todd, I've been hearing such great stuff about everything you're doing in New York. Just pimp whatever show you got going. Where can people see you?
Well, we're back at the Fringe Festival and doing, as sort of the 10th anniversary, we brought back Carnival Knowledge for a couple of performances just to let people know what they're missing.
And that's the Fringe Festival in New York City.
Yeah, the New York International Fringe Festival.
Cool.
Yeah, so... we're doing that, and then there is hope for the future of the seance show. There is negotiations as we speak. So anyway,
good. Todd Robbins is the name, and telling stories is the game, and he's got a monkey story for us.
Yeah, I have to apologize. I can't remember the offhand the name of the guy who did this. He was a PR flack back in the 1950s. And he used to do all these. He loved practical jokes, and who doesn't?
Of course, exactly.
And the crueler, the better. And there's just a bunch of them. One quick story before I get to the monkey story is a friend of his, a next door neighbor, bought a Volkswagen Beetle when it first came out, and was just raving about how great the mileage was. So this guy would sneak over every night and put gas in the guy's gas tank, in the tank. So the guy was getting like 120 miles to a gallon, and then bragging about it. And then after about 2 weeks of this, he then started siphoning out the gas. So he would be continually running out of gas every morning.
Well, you know, that is when the Volkswagen Beetles first came out, that was a great practical joke. But now with the gas crisis and people getting those hybrids.
Yeah.
I mean, really, this is just a call out to all our listeners. Please, all of you, if you know one of those smug bastards that has a hybrid and talks about how he's saving the environment, especially if you yourself own an SUV, if you really, this is the greatest idea ever. It's not going to cost you that much. Buy a little extra gas in a can in your SUV and pour it into the hybrid at night. Oh, man, especially if you like play poker with a guy or something.
And if you get caught, what's the crime? What are they going to charge you with? Okay.
So anyway, that's great.
Back in the 50s, he bought this big ass limousine. I don't know if you can say limousine on but he bought this big car and had it refitted with a steering wheel and all the controls in the back seat, and then he had a dummy fake steering wheel put up front, prop steering wheel.
Sure.
And he bought a chimp. and he had a you can see where this is going. And he had a full chauffeur's uniform with cap made for the chimp.
Uh-huh.
And he would have him sit in the front seat, and he would take a newspaper and put it over the real steering wheel in the back and sit in the back and drive around New York City, sitting in his limousine with the monkey driving like a crazed monkey in the front, driving the car around, and just for the look on the people's faces. I have no idea how many accidents that actually caused, but
you could almost do that if you didn't want to go to the trouble of refitting a limo. You could almost get a right-hand drive vehicle from England.
Sure.
You know, and just dummy that up. As a matter of fact, if you've got a right-hand drive vehicle, if you've already got one, like one of those guys that collect MGs or something,
yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't just do this all the time.
Exactly.
Newspaper and then one of those little, like, child steering wheels and a monkey, and you could just be, that's pure comedy.
Yeah.
You know funny, Todd.
Yeah.
And there's really very few things funnier than a monkey driving a car.
In a chauffeur's uniform.
That's important.
That to it.
That's very important. And chauffeur's
If you could train the damn thing to get out and open the door for you, it's even more golden. It touches his brain beat.
You know,
life is done.
We did host the Emmys, you know?
Yeah.
We did host the Emmys. That's the way to arrive.
Oh, sure. Man.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I think if I ever win a major award, I have to arrive in a car driven by a monkey. Don't you think?
It's good to have dreams.
We're going to make a deal right now, okay?
Okay.
If you ever win a big award or I ever win a big award, we have to have a monkey chauffeur drive us in.
It would be nice if it was something like the Nobel Prize. The hell is show business? Let's do something, you know, serious so we can win the damn Nobel Prize.
Exactly.
And arrive in a monkey limo.
Let's cure AIDS, right? Win the Nobel Prize, right?
Which I think, considering the whole thing got started with a monkey biting someone
on
the
perfect.
Ass.
It's absolutely perfect.
Isn't it?
Perfect. It's a perfect thing. It would go down in history. See, that's the thing. I met Norman Borlaug too late. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. I like Norman. We get along okay. I probably could have convinced him to arrive in a car driven by a monkey.
Yeah.
Would have been great. And also, you know, Richard Feynman would have done that.
Yeah.
There must be a Nobel. I just wanted to let you know, if you're on the short list for the Nobel Prize, Todd and I will put up all the money for you to get the car set up that way and get the monkey in the chauffeur's uniform. We'll do all the work. All you've got to do is win the damn Nobel Prize.
That's asking so much.
It's not asking a lot. I mean, it is asking a lot if we ask someone we know to win the Nobel Prize. But we're asking for the pool of people who are already on the short list. That's not asking that much.
No.
All we're asking is to take the most important moment of their life and monkey with it a little bit. That's all we want, right, Todd?
We're just adding a little joy to the world.
That's all we're asking, with a monkey in a chauffeur outfit. Yeah. Todd Robbins, who's always doing shows around New York City. Your new big, on your Seance show, Todd, new big deal, is it for New York or is it somewhere else?
Yeah, no, it's, we may be coming out and doing kind of monkeying with it and cleaning it up and trying out some new devious stuff. In a certain city out west.
Oh, cool.
That is in the middle of a desert, and and I can't mention Las Vegas by name, but we might be coming out there to play with it and then bring it back to New York, because what is in Vegas should not stay in Vegas.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we'll be hanging out with you. We'll have you on the show more. So gather up some monkey stories. Thanks a lot. That's Todd Robbins. We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday right after this. Not all monkeys follow rhythm and tone. You know? Some of them just go ape nutty. 866-570-PEN, 7366. The reason that the phone number has the name PEN in it...
Were you implying that you normally do this in key and on rhythm?
I normally do it in rhythm.
In key?
No, there's not really in key. It's a squeal. It's a squeal. It's not really in key.
Okay.
But that time, it was really out of it. It was really more out than usual. That's all I'm saying. The reason the phone number has the name Penn in it is that my name is Ben, Ben Gillette. And that person being a stickler, Mr. Golden Ears, across the way, is Michael Goudeau, whose sensitive ears were, you thought there was some dissonance in my monkey singing.
Not more than usual, no.
Okay. But you think there's usually dissonance in. Maybe we come back from the next commercial, I'll try to sing my monkey stuff in.
Okay,
we'll just try that.
It's gonna be
see
great.
We'll take a few phone calls. Let's take this one from Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, happy Monkey Tuesday, everybody.
Thanks, Dan. What's up,
Dan?
I like to be able to trigger the Mike Jones.
Mike Jones is at your beck and your call.
Nice. This may not be the first time I do that. Maybe somewhere later in the call.
Okay.
Just so you know, I have that control. I kind of dig it.
I think you meant to say last time, didn't you? Go ahead.
Oh, well, anyway, Yeah, so do you know why I'm calling?
I don't really. Goudeau just said we had you on. He was pointing frantically and said, this is the call we have to take, so lay it on me.
Oh, well, okay. A couple years back in 2001, I was in a movie called Playmate of the Apes.
Wait a minute, Playmate of the Apes?
Yep.
Playmate of the Apes, I believe my good friend Kelly and my wife watched that in a down in Florida. It was on some sort of pay-per-view thing or on some sort of cable thing, and they watched it. They told me how great it was.
Well, if you talk to them and ask who the hot pink gay ape was.
That was you?
It was me.
It was called Playmate of the Apes?
Takeoff on, Planet of the Apes.
I get it. I get the joke.
It's that year that Tim Burton made his feeble attempt. But
it had to be better than Tim Burton's.
It was, actually, in many ways.
And tell us a little bit about your character.
Okay, well, I was flagrantly gay. I was dressed in a fluorescent day-glow pink ape costume.
Now, did you make that or did the wardrobe?
No, they took care of it. They took care of
it. Wow, so this is a high-budget movie.
Actually, you'd think it wasn't, but they got a guy doing the special effects, the makeup effects, the same guy who did Michael Jackson's Scarecrow in The Wiz.
Okay.
Yeah. Michael Thomas, that was his name. And he was also on SNL for like 20 years. He got an Emmy for doing the makeup on that one, too.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
I probably met him. What was his name again?
Michael R. Thomas.
I must have. That would have probably been the time that I was on SNL. But tell us a little bit about the plot of Playmate of the Apes.
Well, it was very deep, very deep. Basically, the astronauts, and by the way, they were spelled astronauts with ASS.
Of course.
And apparently they went to a land where the apes had taken over the population and humans were treated as pets.
Oh, really? And you were one of the...
I don't know if you heard of the stars, the female stars, because they were the big part of it. Misty Monday and Darian Kane.
Oh, is Misty Monday very, very stacked?
she's like nubile, young, pasty, but like very hot looking gal, basically giving people like young ladies, like young ladies.
Oh, she plays very young, so it's not the one I'm thinking of. Patrick is giving this like so sign, like maybe Misty Monday isn't better looking than you, Patrick.
Yeah, well, she's of age, but she looks like a teenager. I think that's why people dig her. But it was starring those folks.
Well, that was also 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So now she's well aged.
No, she looks exactly the same, actually.
Oh, really? She's still working?
Oh, she's still working. She, like, tried to move into, like, you know, directing softcore and horror now. So.
What'd you call her? Oh, horror.
No, horror. Emphasis on the roar.
Horror.
Yes.
And so she's your part now, are you gay?
No, I'm happily married.
So you were playing a
I was playing a gay ape, but the thing is, like, you know,
How'd you get the part?
I got the part because, like, I've been doing stand up comedy for years, and then
and because, you know, all the greats of stand up comedy, Lenny Bruce, Robin Williams, George Carlin, they all played gay monkeys in movies. Is that right?
If they were lucky.
I have a review of it right here, and I don't see the pink ape mentioned in the review.
What does the review say?
Erotic parody. After crash landing their spaceship on a seemingly strange planet, three female astronauts quickly exit the ship.
Astronauts
quickly exit the ship, shed their space suits, and joyously wash each other in a nearby stream.
Yeah.
While frolicking with each other's bodies, the astronauts' clothing is stolen, leaving them naked.
Yeah.
But now naked ladies wander the forest until they come across three jungle people. This is good. This is a good story.
You can pretty much figure out why it was ignored.
Yeah. Planet of, here's the review.
Basically, the company that did this, mostly they focused on girl-on-girl type stuff, and any guys that were there for, like, comic relief.
Sure. So you being in a gay pig monkey suit. Now, have you been in other movies?
Yeah, actually one that's coming out on September 5th.
Well, all those people who love Planet of the Apes are going to love the new movie. What's it called?
Kinky Kong.
Kinky Kong.
Yeah.
So you have found a niche. I mean, this is like...
pretty much.
You're like in Clint Eastwood's Western period.
I am their gorilla go-to guy.
Yeah.
You're looking for anything in simian cinema? Oh, I'm there.
Now, is this new one, is this also softcore?
Yeah, pretty much. All girl-on-girl stuff, and I'm there being 80 foot tall, and I like watching them do it.
Now, you play the actual King Kong?
Uh-huh. Kinky Kong, yeah.
Kinky Kong, wow.
Yeah.
And now in the Planet of the Apes.
Who's your agent?
In the Planet of the Apes, did you get to, shall we say, monkey around with any of the actresses?
No, I did not, but, like, I got to watch, and that was good enough.
No, it's not good enough.
Because,
it's not good enough, you lying bastard. Did you get to touch them at all?
No, well...
Off camera, anything?
No, just I wish. Not to say, like, you know, I didn't wish, but no. I sat there in my big... Well, you know what? What's going to attract them to me? The guy in the big pink monkey suit?
Or the acting gay? One of those two things.
You know, the thing is, like, when they, like, threw me that part, I'm like, all right, well, how do I act gay as a monkey? I also didn't want to go stereotypical, like, you know, the whole lisping thing, so I'm like... All right, what's my voice going to be? Because that's the only thing anybody's going to hear.
You had lines? You had lines inside the ape suit?
Oh, I had lines.
Can we hear some of the lines on the readings, please?
Basically, the one that was in, like, the commercial was, "My butt's not glowing like a baboon's, is it?" And so I'm figuring out a voice. I'm like, oh my, oh dear. And I figure, okay, that's going to be my voice. I couldn't figure out. It sounded familiar, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it sounds like at all?
Isn't it a cartoon voice?
No. I found out while I was on camera. After I got done doing the scene, I said, now I know what voice I'm doing. I'm doing C-3PO. and the cameraman gets up from behind the camera and says, "That's it." He's been trying to figure out the whole time too.
Now, do you earn your living as a stand-up?
No, not a good living. No.
Cool. What do you do? What do you do for a living?
Cartooning, writing, that kind of thing. I just kind of wandered into, like, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, the low budget Forrest Gump. I kind of wander into these things.
Yeah, looking at the IMDb here, and you've done some fine work here.
Let's hear the list.
Kiki Kong is in post production right now, as it points out. Playmate of the Apes, as we know. Witch Babe, The Erotic Witch Project 3.
Yes, I play the town crier. Yes, and it was good enough to warrant a 3.
Exactly.
It's a trilogy. You can buy the whole pack.
At Purgatory Blues, you were a zombie football player as well. So you're getting
that's actually how I started out. When my manager, Bobby Gonzo, called me up. That's his name, Bobby Gonzo. And he called me up. He's like, the guy that, like, you did Purgatory Blues for, he really liked you, and he wants you to lead in, like, the next movie. You're going to be playing a gay ape called Dr. Queera.
Dr. Queera is the name, huh?
Now,
all you've ever been in is the softcore stuff?
Yep, so far.
And it makes money, right? They hire women that are essentially doing make-out scenes with each other, but nothing hardcore. And they put around it, it's usually like Southern... the other night I had to watch my son, who's 2 months old, so he had on Showtime, and I had on something called one of these things like Bikini Escort Service or something. So that's the level of movie you're talking about?
Pretty much. They're like more aiming towards, like, it's called an erotic spoof.
Okay, so who the hell buys these? I mean, why wouldn't you buy, like, a hardcore movie and then also buy, like, something that is really funny instead of getting, like, halfway to both of them?
I have no clue. I'll be honest with you. I thought this thing was going to be, like, going into the bargain basement, you know, trash bin there. And then all of a sudden, like, they call me up and they say, oh, yeah, by the way, this is going to be on Showtime and Cinemax.
Now, was there a premiere?
A premiere? Not really. They don't really premiere those kind of things.
I just wondered. I just don't know anything about this world.
But neither did I up until that point. I'll tell you, son, you know, when you see this porn up front and, like, up close, man, you know what? It really loses some of the magic.
No, that's not true. Liar! 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 I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Shut up! No! Shut up!
Okay. No, seriously, a little
shut
bit.
Shut up! Shut your goddamn mouth! I don't want to hear this. Shut up! Let's go back to you with
sorry.
The pink gay ape suit, okay? We do not want to hear that there's anything that you did not like while sitting in a pink gay ape suit about girl-on-girl action naked in a movie. I don't want to hear anything about that. I'm trying to protect your reputation, Dan, okay?
I'll tell you about Witch Babe.
Okay.
I didn't have to wear a big sweaty costume.
Okay.
In Witch Babe, there was this gal, Lori Wallace. She's also a little porn star. She does, like, you know, some of the straight stuff and some of the girl-on-girl stuff. And during that scene, she was, like, grinding up against me, buck naked, and I can't honestly say I was not excited.
There you
overly
go.
Overly excited.
That's the story we want. Oh, did you say overly excited?
Not that you could see from the camera.
I'm sorry to hear that, Dan, but maybe as Kinky Kong more would show. Thank you so much, Dan, for calling, and thank you so much for shutting up at the appropriate time. He played a gay monkey because this is Monkey Tuesday. That wasn't right. Fine. I'm singing in key. And it was in time, too. I don't want to hear any more of you. What do you know about music, anyways?
Absolutely nothing.
This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, and I'm with Michael Goudeau, as I always seem to be every morning or afternoon, if you're where people really listen to this show. And we're in the middle of a Monkey Tuesday. And I'm trying to recover from him saying bad stuff about. Now, I've been on porn sets, you know. I've been close on that. And it's really easy and smug to say it's not that sexy up close. But, you know, there may be some things in a story that you want to tell that aren't that sexy. But it's really sexy. It's really sexy to be in a room with people having sex. And you can quote me on that wherever you want. But we want to get back to the monkeys because that's what the day is all about. This is the day of the monkeys, the day that we put aside to talk about monkeys. And we have a phone call from Simon. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Well, I got a great monkey story. This happened to me when I was like 6 years old. Back in 1976, my parents managed a bunch of apartment buildings in Chicago. And one month when they went to collect the rents from some hippies, they had skipped out and left a steamer trunk full of tie-dye shirts and roach clips and hippie beads and two squirrel monkeys in cages and left a note, you know, that peace, love, and hope this clears the bill.
So let me see. You had some patchouli oil, maybe an Iron Butterfly record, some tie-dye clothes, and two squirrel monkeys.
Yes.
Just so, left in a trunk. Left in an apartment?
They had left it in the apartment.
Okay.
And my father brought it home, and we were going to keep the monkeys as pets.
Okay.
And they were the meanest, foulest. You can imagine.
Yeah, okay.
And what happened is we had gone on a vacation, and my father had asked one of his workers from the real estate agency he owned to come in and clean the cages and to come in every couple days.
Sure.
Well, apparently, at least a day before he came, they had figured out how to get out of their cages. They had destroyed our house. Every bed, couch, curtain, sheet, tablecloth, you name it. Every plate was taken out of the cabinets and smashed. Everything was shredded, every pillow. The house was absolutely destroyed. came in and started looking for them. They attacked them.
Oh, man.
And this guy was about 50 years old and about 120 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And we torn him from limb to limb.
No, they didn't tear him from limb to limb.
I mean, they bit him all over. They ripped his clothes. They scratched him all over. I mean, they didn't kill him. I mean, but they jumped on him. He couldn't get him off, and they attacked him.
That's such a nightmare.
Oh, my God. So we decided to give them to Lincoln Park Zoo here in Chicago.
Yeah, of course you did.
It was either that or serve them for dinner to the guy that they attacked.
Yeah.
And we found out that it takes about 9 months to get the smell out once your monkeys are loose because places to go that we couldn't find to clean up.
Oh, man, 9 months to get the smell of a monkey out.
Nine months to get the smell of monkey mess out of that.
What does a spider monkey cost? I mean, if you really hate somebody, how much does it cost to give them a spider monkey? You know, I was looking this up. We'll find out, Simon.
I'll know in a minute.
And did you give them to the Lincoln Park Zoo, right?
Yes.
Did you go visit them later?
Absolutely not.
How old are you during all this?
This happened in 1976. I was 6 years old.
So you was there any joy you got from the monkeys at all? Or was it just terror from the moment they came to your house?
Actually, we had had them for only a couple of weeks before we went on vacation. And the only joy I got was watching my older brother clean the cages. We weren't allowed to take them out of the cages or play with them because the first day we had them, and we should have taken that as a sign, one of them bit my mother's finger and nearly bit it off.
Wow.
But, I mean, we would go to the room that we had them in, and they would be there with the monkey mess equivalent of snowballs to throw at us.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't made of snow.
Yeah, I get it. We understand completely. We figured that right out. Have you found out how much you could have?
Let's say about $3,000 for a spider monkey.
For one spider monkey?
Yeah.
$3,000. So the hippies left, of course, back at that time, that's about $600. it was probably about $1,400 or so, right, at that time, $1,300?
Yeah, probably.
A little under $1,500. Someone paid $3,000 to leave those monkeys to you and then go to Lincoln Park Zoo. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for sharing your pain. It's always nice when people call and let us laugh hysterically at something that almost ruined their life. That always means a lot to me. Let's go with JD. You on the phone there, JD?
Hey, I'm right here.
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Doing very well.
All right, I've got somewhat of a monkey proposition for you guys.
Okay, lay it on us.
You got to stay with me here, though. It's going to go quick, all right?
Okay.
All right, first, the setting is ancient Rome, okay?
Okay.
Let's say you killed your father.
Okay.
The punishment, listen to this. You get put into a bag with a dog, a snake, a rooster, and a monkey, okay?
Uh-huh.
Get sewn shut, and you are thrown to the Tiber River, okay?
Did they do that?
They actually did that. Now, it's not like the sort of thing where it's like a law. It's more like, you know, you get caught stealing something, they cut off your fingers,
yeah.
You kill your father, you get put in a monkey bag, okay?
Yeah.
All right, here's the next step, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, I remember, well, actually more than a few weeks ago, you were talking about celebrities turning crazy when they bought a monkey.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Well, on the show Hogan Knows Best, okay, I was watching maybe 5 minutes, that's all he can bear from a show like that, okay?
Uh-huh. I don't know this show. What's the premise? Who's in it? What is it?
The premise of the show is Hulk Hogan and his family.
Oh, it's Hulk Hogan. Okay, I know that. Okay, so Hulk Hogan.
Wacky antics, etc. Okay?
Sure.
They get rid of the monkey for a short bit, whatever.
They had a monkey on the show?
They bought a monkey. The family bought a monkey, and too much trouble. They're borderline crazy because they got rid of it in the end.
Okay, good.
Opposition to you.
Okay.
Is you the Hogan father, Hulk Hogan, and his son come on the show. Have them bring the monkey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You coax them somehow into getting to one of the fight, a father-son fight. You know, pull the old, your dad said this about you, and then, your son was saying this.
Uh-huh.
Have them kill Hulk Hogan, okay?
Okay. I'm with you so far. I can do all this.
Monkey bag. Put the sun in a monkey bag.
So your plan for what Penn should do, let me get this straight, is I call up Hulk Hogan. I say, you know, Hulk, you have a television program. You probably should pimp that. Have a radio show. It's New York. It's D.C. It's, you know, it's Detroit. It's Chicago. Why don't you come on? And why don't you bring your son? We'll talk about your show. We're on here, and Hulk Hogan is pimping the show, talking about how great it is, telling where it is. People should go see it. While we're talking, Goudreau was sneaking out and getting from like the other room of my house a rooster, a snake, a dog, and a monkey, right? And a sack large enough for Hulk Hogan's son, and he's getting some sort of sewing kit, right? I assume that's your job, right?
That's my job, yeah.
Okay. So in the other room, there are cages. What kind of snake are you going to get, Goudreau?
It's a tough call. Okay. African rock python.
Okay,
they have teeth, but they're not poisonous.
African rock python. What kind of chicken? We don't care. Chicken, any kind of chicken. Although, we'll get one of those exploding chickens.
You like the good-looking chicken?
Yeah, the good-looking chicken.
All right.
Get a good-looking chicken. This is radio. We'll have stills. Get Dustin and take some pictures. Dog. What kind of dog you want?
German Shepherd.
Just a regular German Shepherd.
German Shepherd.
Mean one or happy one?
I think a happy one.
Happy one. Okay.
It's funnier.
Okay. And then a what kind of monkey? Spider monkey? Today's theme is kind of spider monkey.
All right, we'll go spider monkey. It's kind of small. Something bigger, you know, okay. A howler. Maybe a big black howler.
Big black howler. Okay, big black howler. And now, do you think you're going to put them in the bag before you get into the studio or have them in separate things or something?
You think we need to set up some kind of thing where they all run into the bag at once?
Well, maybe, I don't know. But okay, so now I got to get Hulk Hogan to kill for Hulk Hogan's son to kill him. Now, I can imagine that Hulk Hogan's son is the most patient man in the world. When you have a father like that, is there anything I could say to upset him? No. Hulk Hogan is a flaming lunatic, right? So his son knows that. So if I said, you know, your father, you know what he said about you? He'd go, yeah, he says it all the time. No matter what but anyway, we get him to kill. Maybe we do something to Hulk Hogan that makes him die and looks like the son's fault. But, of course, in this world, since this is not a punishment of the United States government, we don't have to frame him. We could just say to him, okay, you're being punished. Why don't we just have Hulk Hogan's son on directly and say, we think someday you might kill your father, and therefore, why don't you get into this giant pillowcase? And then Goudreau dumps in the rock python.
Yeah.
The howler monkey,
yeah.
The German Shepherd, and the
fancy chicken.
Throw them all in, sew them up, and then what we get out of this is JD is happy. Is that right?
That is exactly correct. I mean,
how happy are you, JD?
On a scale of 1 to infinity?
Yes.
Times infinity. I am all of that put together. I mean, imagine the happiness you would get from seeing that.
Yeah.
That for me.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear, JD. We are putting it under consideration. Thank you so much, JD. This is a call out to Hulk Hogan's son. Hey, come on the show. We're going to have a lot of fun. Hulk Hogan's son, let's have fun on some Monkey Tuesday with Ben Gillette and Michael Goudreau.